Welcome everybody to Franklin Township Board of Trustees, July the 9th, 2026, at 12 p.m. regular board meeting. If you need to speak to somebody in the audience, please step out into the lobby to do so. And please, at this time, if you have cell phones, please turn them down or off. Would be greatly appreciated. Byron, would you like to open us in a prayer, sir?
Absolutely.
Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day of life. Lord, I just ask you to be with each and every person here, our families. Give us discernment and compassion. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jan, would you lead us in the pledge, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I just have to say something real quick. That was pretty nice hearing so many people say and pledge at one time.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was.
Beautiful.
It's the way it was meant to be.
So, ma'am, I'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
And I'll make a motion to accept today's agenda. Can I get a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to jump right into our scholarship fund, and it's something that my family does every year and has for the past 2 years, including this year will be year three, and my final year will be next year. All of the funds for the scholarship funds comes from my family. No taxpayer money are spent on this and everything. And it's just something that's near and dear to my family and myself. And so at this point in time, I'm going to turn it over to Robin, and she'll get us into the new name for the scholarship fund and introduce our recipient. So, ma'am, could you take over?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's our honor this year. We changed the scholarship fund from, I think it was like Franklin Township Board of Trustees Scholarship, to a near and dear firefighter Scooter Mullins Memorial Scholarship Fund. Scooter was a brilliant firefighter here at the township for many years, generational. He was Scooter Mullins the third. We are blessed to have his father, number two, here in the back with us today, and his wife and family, his son. I'm so blessed to have many people here, lots of people. Representing his family and the fire department today. So we're blessed with that. We want to make sure everybody can stay on time. So we're going to get started. And this whole process is very tedious, but we are very happy and pleased to introduce Layla Bozak.
Scooter.
So I'm going to have her pick up her little paper check. I'm going to have
the check right there.
This is Mrs. Mullins.
Want to make sure you saw.
I'm going to have you present her with the real check.
Introduce who she is.
So this this is Scooter Mullins' wife, Terry. So she is going to be the one to present Layla with her check. So I want to step out of the way.
Yeah, congratulations.
Layla is a graduate of Franklin Heights High School, and she will be moving on to the University of Cincinnati.
Okay,
so we are honored to be a part of her journey.
Would you like to get some pictures with?
Nicole,
could you take her picture?
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll have here, guys. Come on behind the table, honey.
All right, let's just get you in the flag and all the important
wherever
stuff.
Wherever you'd like. Jean, you good?
Jean, would you like to be
this? Yes.
You sure?
That's the important part.
Okay, here. Hold it out nice and straight. There you go.
Smile.
Oh, that's okay.
That's also generational.
That's all right. That's okay. Well, thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
A lot of hard work. I wish you nothing but the best.
Congratulations.
Thank you guys all for being here.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
We didn't get that option. I just want to thank Terry real quick. Terry, I just wanted to thank you, Scooter, or CJ. I'm sorry. Thank you guys for coming. Gene, thanks for coming.
No, absolutely. Thank you. Scotty's here too.
We'll do it next year. Oh, Scotty, I'm sorry.
And there's another fine mine in the back. I can't see who it is. All right.
Okay. I need to deviate from the agenda just for a second. Byron would like to enter. That's what you wanted to do,
yes,
sir. He has a new officer coming on board, and they have to get him out of here. So I'm going to let Byron introduce our new officer.
Come on up, Dave. All right, everybody. This is going to be our newest officer, Eric Runyon. He's come to us from BCI. Eric, would you like to say a couple things?
I'm just excited to be here. I'm excited to serve the west side of Columbus. I've been a police officer since 2015. I spent the majority of my time in Whitehall, so I'm really looking forward to working with the chief and the lieutenant here and you guys and serve a different community.
I was lucky enough to meet you the other day, so I'll say what I said to you then. Welcome aboard. You're going to be working with some great guys, and I think I said to you they'll teach you a lot, but it sounds like you don't need to be taught. You may teach them a few things, especially this guy. No. So welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Yes, thank welcome.
You. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in today, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Anything else?
Welcome.
So we have another speaker, Robin. I'm going to let you take number two, if you can, to introduce them and everything, and what the ask was for them to come in today. So,
yeah, well, I'm pleased to announce, is it Matthew Ravis? Is that him?
Ravis.
Yes. He is with the Franklin County Engineer's Office, and he's Highway Design Engineer.
Yes, thank
you. So thank you.
You're welcome. Trustees, I've got a couple. This was our public involvement meeting exhibit. I'm here to discuss the Fisher Road project that's being proposed between Wilson Road and North Hague Avenue. There's my business card as well.
Can you grab one of mine and one of hers?
Sure.
Business cards real quick so you have them. And John's is in the, out there in the lobby if you'd grab one of his on the way out. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
Yes.
Yes, good afternoon, trustees. Thank you very much for the invite, the opportunity to discuss this project. My name is Matt Ravis. I'm the Franklin County Highway Design Engineer. Lead our Highway Design Department, managing our capital improvement roadway projects. We do some private development plan review and approval management for the agency, and we have a small in-house design team as well. So that's a little bit about me. I'm here to present the Fisher Road lane reconfiguration project that's being proposed. Fisher Road is classified as a minor arterial roadway in the Franklin County Engineer's Office inventory. The segment in question is between Wilson Road and North Hague Avenue. It's about 0.84 miles long, around 4,400 total feet. The current average daily traffic volumes on this segment of roadway is around 16,500 vehicles per day on that segment of Fisher Road, and the expected growth in the next 20 years is just shy of 19,000 vehicles per day on that segment of roadway. The impetus for this project was, each year we evaluate our crashes, both at our intersections and individual road segments. This segment in question, in the past 5 years, the total number of crashes we've had, 50% of those crashes along the corridor resulted in injury. And so one of those crashes, unfortunately, in the last 5 years resulted in the fatality, which was tragically an infant child. And so the reason I give you those statistics is, anytime we have, or really it's industry standard, a crash rate or an injury rate north of 30% is usually warranted for some type of safety improvement. So 30% is the industry, I don't want to say standard, in roadway engineering as far as 30% injury rate on crashes is considered a pretty significant problem. This segment of roadway is at 50% injury resulting crashes. So the primary purpose of this project is specifically to address that high injury vehicular crash rate. Currently, we're proposing to do that by introducing a lane reconfiguration by means of resurfacing the existing width of Fisher Road so the curb lines won't change, and we would be reducing Fisher Road from predominantly the four-lane wide configuration, two lanes in each direction, to a three-lane wide roadway with a one lane each direction, including a two-way left turn lane. We would use the remaining space between the curb lines to introduce on-street bike lanes, and the current proposal is to add sidewalks behind the curb and gutter. So that's a little bit about the project background and kind of the impetus for the proposal. We did hold a very well-attended public meeting at our West Maintenance Outpost just further down Fisher Road. On May 28th, we received numerous comments, and our subsequent 30-day public comment window closed last Sunday, June 28th of 2026. So we're currently actively working on developing responses to each of those concerns brought to our attention. I do expect our responses to be posted and individually shared with the residents who gave us their contact information in the next couple of weeks. But out of that public meeting, the predominant concern that we understand from residents is the possibility of a detrimental capacity decrease along the corridor, resulting from removing the two from a four-lane roadway to a three-lane roadway and reducing the three lanes. As a result of the feedback that we've received, and though we haven't yet had our public comments fully posted, we are going to move the construction schedule of this project from the originally planned summer to fall of next year, while we continue to evaluate what is both the safest option for the corridor without detrimentally decreasing the capacity of the corridor. So with that time, we're using that time gain to complete additional traffic counts, additional capacity analyses of the signals at Wilson and at Hay, to ensure the proposed configuration would not result in what's feared to be a detrimental decrease to the capacity of the corridor, all while maintaining the ultimate purpose of this project, which is a lane reconfiguration to reduce the predominant crash types that we're experiencing on the corridor. We do plan to host a second public involvement meeting later this year, once we've had the chance to perform some of those additional traffic analyses and discuss possible steps forward at that time. And, you know, our goal and our hope is for transparency in our processes, being able to explain some of those traffic analyses that we're planning to perform and the results thereof, and evaluate any change course of action from there. So that's our project background and our current project status update. With that, I can take any questions.
So have you taken into consideration there's 6,000 new apartment units that will be built on Hague Avenue within the next year?
Yes, that's a very good question.
Because you have Hague Avenue, or not Hague Avenue, Trebue is already backed up. And we need another outlet.
You're correct. There's quite a lot of new development, specifically along Trebue and along Hague. We're aware of that. The forecasted traffic data that was completed through a process requiring ODOT review and approval. As part of that process, Mid-Ohio Regional Planning develops annual growth rates for the forecasting of traffic, and MORPC assured us the growth rates that were given for this project did account for the planned future growth of both, you know, those apartments along Trebue and on Hague.
You know, because it is continuing. Like, they can, City of Columbus continues to eat away at the township. And they are building massive apartment buildings that our roads can't handle.
Yeah, we are, like I said, the forecasted daily traffic volumes did incorporate those anticipated growth rates. And all of that came through Mid-Ohio Regional Planning. If you do have additional questions on that process, I'm happy to get follow up with you on that. But I do want you to know that the traffic data that we have so far did account for the increase.
Is it current traffic data? Because every time that we ask a developer, they're going on data pre COVID.
The data we measured and then applied the growth rate to was observed last fall. So post COVID, we physically measured and counted it. You'll sometimes see cables laid across the road. Those are able to count the number of vehicles. And we plan to do that again as well this summer and into the fall to facilitate some of the additional traffic analyses we're planning to perform.
So I have a question. Did you say the question and answer period ended last Sunday?
Yes.
So we as an entity, Franklin Township, never got notification of the meeting. I think someone knows that. I believe Robin's been in contact with somebody. So if we had someone that would like to submit a question, would they be able to get their questions answered? We're talking, what, 9 days? We didn't know about the meeting. We found out on Facebook. And then the second part of that question is, you said there's going to be another meeting. Can we be assured that we're going to be notified this time?
Yes.
Of the meeting?
Yeah, I fully understand your concerns there. And, you know, while it's not uncommon for us to traditionally only invite other agencies that either have a financial or a jurisdictional impact associated with the project, we highly value our, you know, good past relationship with the Franklin Township trustees. And if that's something that, you know, you wish to be involved with moving forward, we'll absolutely get you invited to the second public meeting. And the public comment window that closed is more, let's consider it the official public comment window. We are always available, regardless of that 30-day period, to receive and answer questions. It's more a process of, the ODOT review of the project as we proceed with project development. It's a requirement that not only we meet with the public, but then we have an established comment window. So the comments we received within that 30-day period are going to be officially responded to in our posted response, but that doesn't mean we're going to ignore any future comments.
Well, there's not a load. There's a good amount of people here today, but we're not overloaded with people. But you were here when we set up, so these are put on YouTube and stuff. And so we have anywhere from 100 to 125 people check out our meetings. And so the purpose of my question was for those people that are not here today,
yes,
who may not have known or do know, but didn't get to ask, that they could reach out to your your people and get their questions answered.
Yeah. Yes. And currently on our website, we still have all the public information that was shared at the meeting posted. I gave you the handouts. We did have a long roll plot exhibit of the corridor that's posted in PDF format on our website too. So additional information can be found there.
So one of the things, I live in that area, and immediately after the meeting, I had our residents as an elected board thought we didn't care and didn't show up. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I've had residents come to my home, and I invited them in, sat down, and I went over this with them. And looking at this, I remember in the 80s when that was then turned into four lane when it was two lane. I'm very opposed to this, what you are proposing, for the simple fact that I use this quite a bit. When you come out on Macklem Drive and you go to turn, it's illegal to use the turn lane as a alternate merge into traffic. So there's a lot of traffic that is going, that does cut through, and this is going to put more traffic on Lowell Drive, El Paso Drive, also through Macklem, because I can assure you that traffic's going to back up. GPS is going to say, turn on Macklem, turn on Lowell Drive, and you're right at 70. Because a lot of the goal of that traffic that would be going westbound is to be able to get to 70, especially the people that are coming down Hague Avenue. You can enter in on 70 going east. You cannot enter going west. So therefore, that's going to put you up Wilson Road, up to Wilson, turning right, which would take you north, and then getting on the freeway. So we're going to see some of our communities that doesn't have sidewalks like Lowell Drive. It's a 25-mile-an-hour zone. We have problem with speeding already. So that's going to really divert some of that traffic our way due to time and speed. The second thing is, looking at this, there is a comprehensive way to do this other than the way that you've done this. If you would minus the two bike trails on the road, leave it four lane where you have your sidewalks, just as other communities such as Arlington, New Albany, a lot of them are going to this where it's separate from the road and they're making it wider. So it's a shared pathway and it's safer. To give you an idea of how much safer, we already had a pedestrian hit on this morning. I don't know if you've heard about that, but there was a, and they're in the hospital. I don't know what the late, you know what the latest on that is? But anyways, a pedestrian was hit on somewhere there in this corridor that you're talking about. I personally have, as a elected official campaign, take a bike down through there, and luckily I'm still here. Traffic does go fairly quick. But when you're talking 19,000 cars, I mean, I can just see the audience, 19,000 cars in one day, and you're taking that down to just two lanes. Let alone when you look at the project and you're coming from Hilliard Rome Road, four lanes, you come to Wilson Road. Okay, all of a sudden we got to get in one lane because it's only going to be one lane for the next 0.8 of a mile. Trying to get down to, most people are trying to get to 70, that direction. So the ripple effect that this is going to have through the community, for the, from what I'm seeing, is a gain of a turn lane and a gain of a walkway. Granted, go ahead.
Safety of the vehicular traffic, safety is the primary motivation.
Absolutely. So, and that's what I'm getting at. The safety of you having the traffic, as you know, people have habits in the way that they work. We have one lane going down Frank Road, and it turns into Climb Road. We have that middle lane. Every time I come here, I'm passed because I'm doing a speed limit. People use the turn lane to pass. That needs to be a factor into safety, because just because it's not a scene safety as a bike riding on the side, it's predominantly encouraged, or a safety that was not seen, because people are going to do that. I see a huge issue with people going into the turn lane and, or somebody turn in, two people trying to turn into the turn lane at the same time, because you're wanting to turn on Macklem, someone's wanting to turn out. It's going to be a cluster from what I can see from this. I am not an engineer, but just looking at this, safety-wise for pedestrian safety, with the, anytime you have a speed of 45 miles, is it 45 through there, correct?
Correct.
So you have a speed of 45 mile an hour and you're introducing, inviting bicycle traffic for a lane for them. To me, that's a deadly recipe. Let's get them off of the street and up onto the sidewalk or shared pathway. It can't cost that much more. You're already going to be trying to get the right of ways for that down there. make it wide. It works very well in other communities, and it keeps them safe. It keeps the bicyclers and the walkers away from the actual traffic. Someone, you would actually almost have a buffer there if there's a curb. So it gives them a little bit of a distance. Right now, there currently is not a turn lane. Having a turn lane there would be idea with four lanes. There's not enough room to put, I get it. There's not enough room to, in this project, to use a turn lane and four lane. Now, from my understanding from some of the other residents, this is a stem because of a grant for the sidewalks. Is that correct?
The grant funding that had been received is ODOT Highway Safety Improvement Program funding. So it was specifically for the proposal to reconfigure the vehicular lanes. The sidewalks and the on-street bike lanes are a secondary benefit of what else do we do with the pavement while keeping the project costs down. So the predominant crash types that we're experiencing on the corridor are left of center crashes, off-road crashes into fixed objects, rear end crashes. And so while I fully understand all your concerns and I want to respect your time and would happily have a meeting with you, John, to discuss those individually with you. The purpose of the project, my fear would be the purpose of the project would not be addressed if we left the lanes in the condition that they're in and only accommodated a shared use path on both sides of the roadway.
What is your intent for the intersection of Hague and Fisher? Is that becoming a roundabout?
Hague and Fisher, we are proceeding with a safety application to propose to turn that into a multi-lane roundabout. Yes. No work has been done on that. But that intersection in particular, we've had 45 crashes in 3 years.
I understand.
It is our number one crash priority intersection, in our inventory, the Franklin County Engineer's Office. So that is a priority and that is a proposal, but there's been no work done to that end.
And my last question would be, so this project, irregardless what, you said that it was pushed off a little bit. So irregardless, this is going forward as set forth.
No, not at all. We're using the time that we have created to perform the additional traffic analyses, wish to meet with the public again and present a little more formulated, report on, we understand the initial thought process that minimizing the two through lanes in each direction to one through lane in each direction, and that can only result in detrimental capacity impacts to the corridor from our perspective, and I apologize that exhibit doesn't really show the intersections, but the intersection at Fisher and Hague and the intersection at Wilson and Hague, those are the bottlenecks of the throughput of this segment of corridor. Those are the limiting factors, the queuing that happens at those signalized intersections. And so part of the project, and you would see it much better on the rolled out exhibit, is we are not eliminating the two through lanes at what would be westbound Wilson and eastbound Hague. So traffic will be able to fan back out at those pinch points. And so we expect those signals to continue to operate as they currently do, even with the proposed lane reconfiguration.
So if you're going eastbound, it doesn't go, I'm going to use the word choke down. It doesn't choke down to just one lane right away because you have two lanes coming from the west going east, crossover Wilson
east,
Road.
East of Hague or east of Wilson?
Wilson. As you're coming east, right, prior to the Wilson Road, you're going to go through that intersection. Then it's going to go into one lane.
Correct. That merge would be several hundred feet back from the intersection. And same thing, the bike lanes will be suspended and several hundred feet back, and we'll return to the two through lanes in the existing configuration. So while we fully admit, you know, that the Wilson at Fisher signal and the Hague at Fisher signal aren't operating at full capacity as far as there are backups resulting from the intersection in the peak flow in the existing condition, we're aware of that. Columbus maintains the Wilson at Fisher signal. We maintain the Hague at Fisher signal. We don't anticipate this project having a material impact on the function of either signal because we're returning to the two through lanes several hundred feet back from both signals.
I don't have anything else, Brendan. Did you?
Are you looking to change the speed limit to like 35 down through there then at that point?
That's
25.
That's
either?
A very good question.
Let's go 25 for safety reasons.
Well, we did complete a speed study as part of the early workings of this project. The county engineer's offices is limited by the Department of Transportation's process for lowering a speed limit on a roadway. So we did do the analysis and measured the speeds that we were required to do. We submitted that report to ODOT. Unfortunately, ODOT was not able to approve a speed limit reduction. A secondary goal of this project would be if, you know, any type of lane reconfiguration is done, we would take on another study of the speeds, and at that time, with the new data, hope that the Department of Transportation and the results of that study would allow us to lower the speed limit. But it is something that we can't just go put up a 25 mile per hour speed limit sign on.
And that's the purpose of taking it down to two lanes, correct? To make it safer because people would have to slow down because traffic is so bad?
That's an aspect of it. I mean, generally, slower speeds are always safer. But the predominant crash types that we're seeing on the corridor are off-roads into fixed objects, introducing the 8-foot or the 3-foot buffer lane.
Do you think that's going to change on people crossing the center line, going off the road and hitting a mailbox or flipping the car or something like that because they're drunk when they're driving?
The primary benefit of introducing, you know, a 10-foot two-way left turn lane between opposing directions of traffic is, you know, mistakes are made, but it gives the driver the opportunity to recover from those mistakes before it results in a head-on collision, before it would result in an injury or a fatal crash. So the lane reconfiguration proposed is really giving drivers the opportunity to recover from mistakes without having them automatically be in oncoming traffic with 45 mile per hour traffic coming at them the opposite direction. Or, you know, if they do clip the curb line and lose control of the vehicle. So that's some of the reasoning and the primary purpose of, we're focusing on the crash types that are being experienced at the intersection or through this corridor. And how can we give drivers more leeway and room to recover from mistakes.
Sorry, I have one last question. Can we get a copy of this traffic study?
Yes, all of that will be included. Part of the process of our public involvement responses, we're formatting it in a report type style that's going to include appendices that will include the certified traffic count that we've done to date and the signal capacity analysis that we've done to date.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you for coming out. I know it was short notice. Robin reached out. John reached to me, and I reached to Robin, and you guys were able to come, ma'am. Thank you for coming. I think you had something else you had to get to today, and we have a big agenda. So
understood.
Thanks again.
And yes.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Matt, this is Jim Stevens, our road superintendent.
Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you two knew each other because, you know, this is who we rely on. And, okay.
Yes, it's great. Great meeting you, trustees. Jim has been my primary point of contact in my time at the county engineer's office, but it's good to have your contact information now, too. Please reach out to me if anything comes up, and continue to keep you all informed.
Okay, thank great. You very
Thanks
much.
For coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thank you, Karma.
Is that Lola's mom? Is that Lola's mom? Did anybody tell him that they could leave?
I think so.
Ladies, you're more than welcome to stay, but if you have things you need to get to, Layla and your guests, I just wanted to let you know.
I've been meaning to come.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you're here. I just didn't want you to think of, I don't want to be rude.
Thank you so much. Receive my check
and then walk out. So thanks for coming. So we're going to move on. Byron, is there any representatives from the Sheriff's Department, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. Nobody. Public comments. So if there's anybody in the audience that would like to come up and speak, you get 3 minutes roughly. I don't put the timer on. We would ask you to come to the podium if you're able and, state your name and address. Is there anybody that'd like to speak today? Okay. Seeing no one. Now we're going to move on to, I believe, what you're here for, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay. I'll speak louder. So Nicole, can you step out? So, this is a hearing for unsecured, an unsafe structure hearing. And I was told that you're here for 1178. Okay. So, sir, I don't expect you to get up and stand at the podium, or you, ma'am. If you want to speak at the podium, you're fine. If you want to sit right there, I'm fine with it. Can you just give us your name?
My name is Betty McKenzie.
Okay, Betty, how can we, I'm going to let Nicole take over. She's the lady who works all the zoning and all the things, and I think you've been working with her, so will you take over, Nicole, and tell bring us up to date?
I've spoken to her multiple times today. She's fully aware and in agreement that the structure needs to come down. She's attempted to, you know, talk with a couple different companies that can do that. The problem that she's facing is it's either they don't get back to her, or it's really expensive.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've got one guy supposed to call me next week, and we're supposed to set up a time to get it done.
To get it taken care of, or for him to come and look at it?
He'll call me.
For him to demolish it, or for him to just come look at it and give you a...
What did she say?
Come look at it, or tear it down.
No, tear it down.
Okay.
He's already looked at it.
Oh, that's great. I would just make sure you tell him that he needs to get a permit with Franklin County zoning before doing it.
What is here or downtown?
It's downtown. I can give you the information.
Oh, okay. Well, I probably wouldn't know what was that.
He might. Just make sure he gets that permit, because if he does it without the permit, that's a whole different can of worms.
Most contractors always know that they have to have a permit.
I've got a list of people that...
Yeah, she's been very adamantly
and they've come
working
out
on it.
And they're supposed to call me back, and nothing.
As a board, that's what we're looking for. We're not trying to beat you up here. We're just trying to get things taken care of.
I'm trying to work with you.
No, and that's what I'm trying to say.
Because I want it done probably more than you do.
Sure. So,
and that's what I told her. As long as she's working toward a solution, the township is more than willing to work with her while she's doing that. So,
the ask from us would be, would you keep checking in with Nicole?
Okay. I'll...
And she'll inform us, and we're under the understanding that she's trying to do something.
Yep.
And we're not here to beat you up. We want to help you get your problem taken care of the best that we can help you. So, keep checking in with Nicole, and she'll keep giving us updates, and we'll go from there. Does that help? Does that help?
Yes, that helps.
Okay. All right. Nicole, I don't see anybody for the other two. Is there anybody else here for the other two that you know of?
There's not. The other property, they've already submitted a demolition permit with us. So the 1259, I believe, a Eureka. So that's in the works. And Joyful Street, I will have to check back in with them. He did stop in the last meeting date that was canceled. He said that he did have somebody staying in the house, but he was unaware that they had vacated, and he apparently was not aware of the condition that the home had gotten into. But that he was looking to find another person to stay within the home that would also do like some updating and repairing. So I'll have to check back in with him to see where he's at with that.
Okay. Perfect.
Next meeting.
Anything. Yeah. You can probably get back to us at the next
meeting. And just to add, it is his deceased parents' home. So he kind of acquired this through that. But yeah, I will definitely have an update by the next meeting.
Sure. Anything else, sir?
No.
Ma'am?
Nope.
Okay, then. That's perfect. I'm going to move on. Jim, whenever you're ready, we're up to you, sir. Road department.
Yeah, because my back's good
one day. Yeah, feel free if you need to go.
If you need to go, feel free. Feel free. It's up to you. If you want to stay, you can. If you want to go, you can.
I'm going to go. My back is
good. Sure. Okay. Understood.
Understood.
Thank you for coming.
I hurt my back, and I can't. I'm okay. I'll
just
take
me a
minute. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank
now.
You.
My tummy's growling.
Okay.
You hear that?
Yes, sir. Whenever you are.
I'm on agenda. You have me down for department updates and stats. Just kind of an update. We're finishing up on all of our brush calls. We got a little bit behind on that, but today the guys pretty much said that we're going to be completely caught up on brush. Been boomoing all the alleys in the triangle, trying to get that finished up. We've got three major drainage issues we're working on, and we're still staying on House Bill 50 properties, so we're staying pretty busy back there yet. On B-2026 overtime budget utilization, for what I budgeted in 2026 for overtime, we have only used 12% of that so far this year, so we're in good shape.
I wanted to jump in there real quick, Jim, John, and Brenda, and the other two department heads. I happened to see a news clip on the news, and Columbus was way over on their overtime budget. We're exactly halfway through the year, so yeah, I decided
12% is pretty
accurate. I decided to put this on the agenda and spoke to the department head, so I wanted you to know. No way do I think we're in any type of trouble, but since we're halfway through, I just thought it would be a good idea to get a report when they come to the podium today. So thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, Virgin, we've only utilized 12% of what we budgeted for the year.
That's great.
Update on the calming devices. This has been kind of an interesting ride for the last few weeks. I reached out, naturally we got Strawser. I reached out to Brex Paving, Shelley Paving, and Decker, and been trying to get more quotes in as I was asked to do. They've been kind of dragging their feet, and then lo and behold, yesterday I actually got a phone call from Brex Paving, and I went ahead and emailed the Columbus specs for what we're doing exactly like we've done on El Paso. And he said the first part of the week he should be able to have that quote back to me. Decker actually reached out to me today in the last minute, and I've done the same thing with them. So we already know that we've got the one quote from Strawser on what that is. That's going to kind of give us a base price on what we can work with. I was hoping to have everything put together for today, but they're all so busy right now, and these are just little projects for them. So, but hopefully by the next meeting, I will definitely have all the quotes put together. That way I can bring it in to the board, and then you guys can go from there. But I gave them the specs and the locations.
So, Mr. Stevens, here we are in July 9th already. We're right back to where we were this time last year and discussing this and trying to move forward with it. And what's going to end up happening is going to be November, and then there's not going to be anyone to, you know, the plant's closed. Why was there no way that we could have got any type of estimates done earlier in the spring?
Well, earlier, it wasn't until here just, what, two meetings ago that I was asked to get extra quotes.
Actually,
we had Strawser at the time. We had Strawser's quote at the time.
Right. And then last year we asked what the cost would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and we got the cost and et cetera for El Paso Drive. But at that time we were asking, can you look and see what the cost would be? As far as I can recall, since last year, in October, we've been asking, what is the cost? What is the cost?
And up until two meetings ago, it was when we was asked to get extra quotes. We were going off of what Strawser had quoted us in 25.
But like, for instance, Randsburg, at that point, we didn't know. But even Lowell Drive, we have asked, what is the cost going to be?
It was added into the 2025. It was the same price in 2025.
I understand, but it was never brought to the board because this is something we could have already moved on. What I'm getting at is we are kicking the can down the road. Here we are in July. They're going to have a hard time fitting us in. And this is something, in my opinion, that should have been done a lot sooner.
Back in 2025, I brought the quote to the board for 6 speed calming devices.
Correct.
Four of them were on El Paso.
Correct.
Two of them were going to be on Lowell. So that was included in that first quote in 2025. We decided to go with El Paso to start with and then Lowell. But I did bring a quote to the board for 6 total, 2 of them on Lowell, 4 of them on El Paso in 2025.
So then why, for instance, if there's 2 on Lowell, even if we would have put 1 on Lowell and the other one on Randsburg, and then we could have at least, you know, got those taken care of. For some reason, this project is taking way too long, way too long. And here we were able to get the ones on El Paso I wouldn't say quickly matter, but we ran out of time last year, and I see the same thing happening again. And it just doesn't set well. I mean, it's calming devices.
John, if I can step in, I think it's kind of my fault because I'm the one that said at the last meeting maybe a month ago where, you know, because I had several residents reach out to me and say, why do we only have one company being looked at to give us quotes for these calming devices? And at that meeting, I asked Jim if he could reach out and see if he could get quotes from other people. So that's kind of my fault from the last couple meetings. I mean, because I would like to see it done sooner rather than later. You know, I mean, if the board wishes, I mean, we can approve the other 2 from Strawser to go ahead and be done. And then that way that's done and out of the way.
Well, at this point, we've already had 2 people reply back today. So I guess we will have it on the next agenda.
I mean, we might be able to get it cheaper.
That's a good point. That's what we would hope. 2 for 1.
Right.
It's all, sir.
Okay, thank you. The next thing we have is the update on the trail cameras. I have information for you on that, as I told you I would have. I looked into these. These are some of the ones that I've even utilized.
Thank you.
These are instant. We can get pictures. We can get videos. It can be sent to a phone. It can also be sent to a laptop computer. I think it would be very essential to have 2 of these to start with. The quote that I've got on them altogether through Amazon to get the 2 Tacticam trail cameras, and then you need the security boxes that you can lag bolt onto a tree or a pole or whatever. A total of $254.98 would get the 2 cameras and the security boxes for it, and then you actually have an annual fee that you would have to have. And it usually it's just through the Tacticam, and then they'll pick up either Verizon or any other provider, whichever one has the strongest signal at that time in that area is the provider that it picks up on and transmits. And that's usually right about $100 a year for the system for the cameras.
So with this system, let's say someone's trying to disarm it, et cetera, it would video the whole time that they're trying to do
Absolutely.
That.
It doesn't. Not to interrupt you, sir, but if I was to come up and I seen the camera and I go up and I start to disassemble the camera, tear it down, it's already too late. Their picture's already been taken. It's been sent to the phone or the computer, or we can have it on video mode, and the pictures are extremely clear. At nighttime, it takes, I think it's got a 90-foot reach-out span. So
what we've seen in the past is they just take the camera with them and...
Yeah, they took one of mine.
Yeah, and they... Once I take the camera with me, no one has the evidence.
The one that I had taken that I had personally brought in, just we had one really hot spot we were trying to figure something out in. They literally took my camera, but that was the ones that used to just have the
memory
SD card.
Yeah.
You had to go take the card out and look at it. But these, I know the ones that I have out of my farm, it's like within 30 seconds of the picture being taken, I've got it on my phone. So,
and there are other entities using these.
Yes, actually, getting with Dan, our environmental patrol, yeah. He's got some that he's already, I didn't want to mention that in the meeting the other day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're, yes, I'll just answer. I'll just answer with yes.
So this was included in our packet, and I'm what you handed out, and I'm ready to move on it. And I see there's a resolution prepared. Mm-hmm. Are either of you opposed? Mm-hmm. So who's going to,
it's up to you, sir. What would you like to do? All right, I've got one.
Okay, good.
Okay. This is resolution 2026-111. This is a resolution authorizing the purchase of trail cameras and security boxes. The board has determined that the purchase of trail cameras and security boxes is necessary to support the monitoring security needs, whereas the proposed purchase includes two Tecticam trail cameras at a total cost of approximately $195 and two security boxes at a cost of $29.99 each for an estimated security cost of $254.98, whereas the total cost of the purchase shall not exceed $300. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Trustees that the Board hereby authorizes the purchase of two Tecticam trail cameras and two compatible security boxes at a total not to exceed $300. Be it further resolved that all former actions of the Board concerning and related to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the Board, and that all deliberations of the Board and any of its committees that result in such formal action were a meeting open to the public in compliance with the legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code. Be it further resolved that this resolution shall be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fleshman.
Yes.
Trustee Levins.
Yes.
Trustee Fuller.
Yes.
I'll get them.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. last thing you have on here, Eastbrook Drive North update, I take it that would have been the asphalt that was always been the. I'd already sent them a letter and let them know that if they didn't get moved, we would be removing it. Luckily, they acted on the letter and they have removed the asphalt that was in the curb area.
Oh, great. So Jim, did you happen to notice? I'll have Nicole go down there, but are they still parking? I don't know if they're still going up in the yard and all that and everything. So we would have to take care of that through zoning, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then the only other comment I have for you, I'm trying to place it in my head. Jackson, east side of Jackson, between Jackson and Rosemont, that alley, it sort of has a trying to do it via left or right hand turn and then a left hand turn. You know where I'm talking about? Closest to Harrisburg Flat.
It's upon this end of the alley.
So right by where old Miller Door used to be.
Yes.
Can you check that alley out for me, please?
We're in the alleys now.
Okay, that's the only one. I happened to be out and I had to go down there two different times to do something. And I just wanted to see if you could check that one out. That's all I have, Brenda. Did you have anything, ma'am?
No.
John?
I do not, sir.
So, and anybody in the audience have any questions for Jim? Hearing none, you're good to go, sir. Thank you for coming in and joining us today.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bob.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just have some run numbers for you. 555 total incidents, two cardiac arrests, one township fire, 11 building fires. And that is all for that. All overtime budget right now out of the fire fund, we're at 14% for the year of what was budgeted. In the EMS fund, we're at 1%, just under 1%.
Great.
Yeah. That's all I had for you.
Okay. As always, I don't have anything for you, sir. John?
I have nothing.
Nope. We're good.
Audience? Anybody?
Thank you. Keep being safe.
For sure. It's you, Chief. Oh, yeah.
Listen. Let's see what we got here. Two pages.
that. So we'll go with the speed trailers first. Got a new design. The first one here, Treby Road at North Hague. Westbound traffic, it is a 35-mile-per-hour zone. This is going to cover the July 4th weekend, too. Total vehicles, 22,925. Total violators is 14,260. 8,665 people were within the speed limit. Average speed, 37.8. Well, I'm sorry, 37.8% of the drivers obeyed the speed limit. Mind you, 36 in a 35 will violate the trailer, so that's included in the violators. Got a new format, so I'm trying to... It's pretty, but... Yeah, I need some different information. Doesn't really give me the speed. We'll hold those off for the next meeting. June stats, 763 calls for service, 83 incident reports taken, let's see, 52 alarm drops, 3 animal complaints, 11 assaults, 28 assist to other units, 1 burglary, 2 burglary in progress, 36 DV incidents, 4 alcohol-related incidents, 3 exposing incidents, 6 juvenile complaints, 38 thefts, 10 mental health runs, 10 shots fired calls, 14 stolen vehicles, 6 suicide attempts, 156 suspicious persons, 46 suspicious persons with a vehicle, 9 suspicious vehicles, 5 threats, 96 traffic offenses, 10 vandalisms, 1 bad check, let's see, 18 injury crashes, 1 injury hit skip, 24 non-injury crashes, and 10 non-injury hit skip crashes. Wow.
Busy.
Yeah. That's a lot. See, so on July 13th, we did a community touch-a-truck event and also a food drive for Helping Hands Food Pantry around the corner. The turnout could have been better. It was the first one, so, you know, you got to try it and see how it goes. We did have, you know, a decent amount of kids show up, but it was put together pretty quick, so.
Had good weather.
But the weather was great, yeah. Overtime budget, we are currently 19.1% into our overtime budget, which means we are 31% under budget for right now.
So what was it? Where are you at on that?
19.
Okay.
So all three are in great shape.
Let's see. D, entrance rate repair quotes. 2 quotes are supposed to come in early next week. So by next meeting, we should have the repair quotes for the deck over there and the ramp. Let's see next. I don't know if it's changed. Any questions so far?
No.
Okay. Next is resolution authorizing the hiring of Eric Runyon as a full-time police officer. Do you want me to read that?
Sure.
Is there a discussion first or anything?
I didn't have any.
Okay. No, I got it right here, Rob. Okay. You get enough stuff thrown on you. Be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, authorizes the hiring of Eric Runyon as a full-time police officer beginning at Step D at a pay rate of $38.96 per hour as outlined in Article 15 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement. The start date of employment, excuse me, is July 12th, 2026, if all pre-employment requirements are met, which they have been. Be it resolved that all formal actions of this board concerning and relating to this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of the board and any of its committees that resulted in such formal action were in a meeting open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including section 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code.
I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
I will second that.
Discussion? Hearing none?
You need to read that last line.
Oh, I'm sorry. Be it further resolved that this resolution shall be declared an emergency and be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
We'll do it again. I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Right. Down to F. Motion to accept the resignation of Officer John Warner effective June 27, 2026.
I accept the motion as stated. Can I get a second?
A second.
I do have a question. We have everything that's owed back to the township, like if he has any equipment or anything, any other. I'm assuming we do, or we would know, but I have to ask just for it to be on the record.
Yes.
On the record. So. And without being said, can I get a roll call?
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Did you get a second?
I thought, did I? Yes. Robin, did I miss a second on that? Brenda thinks so. Did you have me down? Do you have someone down for a second? I thought John seconded it.
I did.
I just couldn't remember because there was...
Yeah.
We can just do it again.
Well, we'll do it again.
Okay. So I accept the motion as stated. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
We do the whole entire thing over again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so roll call.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Better safe than sorry, ma'am.
Exactly.
I was in the middle of writing, so I apologize.
Sorry.
All right. Update on Cruiser 313-305. 313, and I know you guys know it's worth it. Anybody else? 313 was damaged going through one of the Moo Moo car washes that is currently being repaired in process. They're ordering the hood and getting all the stuff. We're actually using 3C over here. Apparently they're under new ownership, so they seem like they'll be a good company to work for or work with, and they're so close.
So they sold the original owner?
Yeah, he's Juniper.
Wow, Juniper's gone?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has it been long or?
I think within the last year or so.
Wow.
And also, I guess it would be for public to know. The Moo Moo car wash has picked up the
bill, yes.
On this. This is no cost to the taxpayers whatsoever.
Number 305 was damaged during a high speed pursuit where they were pursuing a stolen vehicle. And another vehicle pulled in front of the cruiser, and then the cruiser struck the vehicle. So everything was filed through ATARMA. They kind of work on our behalf, work with the other insurance companies. All the estimates, all the quotes are in for that vehicle. It's also in process. The delay with that one will be the part like the push bumper, that kind of stuff comes right from the manufacturer. So it'll take a couple months just to get here.
Both vehicles are in service, though, and out
currently,
in the fleet?
Yeah, both of them are still in service.
Yes.
305 will probably be out of service longer, just waiting on parts once they do the body work. But I'll keep the board updated.
Sure.
You know. The next one, I'm not really sure what that is.
Robin, it's the amended resolution.
Yeah, I think we talked about this quite some time ago, Byron. So it's one of those things where the meetings have been kind of pushed around. And so when I was going through resolutions and I got in the mail a signed packet from the Franklin County Sheriff's Office from a resolution related to a resolution that was passed back in 2025. And it's basically the agreement for the fingerprinting and DNA collection. Yeah, so I finally got the whole thing back, signed from the sheriff's office and everything. But when I'm reading it, I realized that the actual agreement that the Board of Trustees signed says that the agreement goes until December the 31st of 2027. But our actual resolution that was signed stated that this agreement only went until December 31st of 2025.
Oh.
So we need to amend the resolution. And so if the board doesn't mind, I will read the new amended resolution.
So I have a question. When I was going through the packet,
mm-hmm.
I believe that has John and Jim's signature on it, and just I was told not to sign it because I wasn't in office at the time. Did you see
it? I noticed that, and I thought, why didn't you sign it? Because your name was on it.
Right, and so okay, this is just agreeing and to the amendment. You're not signing the contract again.
Okay, because I was going to say, what do we do now? Because the only trustee here is John. So I just wanted to ask the question. So if the answer is, it doesn't matter, we all three sign it?
Right, you're agreeing to the amendment.
Okay.
That you recognize.
That's to call it out, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So I had thought about that, but in the scope of it, you're not signing the contract. You're just amending. So basically, let me just read it, and then if you don't feel comfortable, I can rearrange the wording. It's this resolution 2026-113, a resolution amending resolution 2025-055, approving the agreement with Franklin County Sheriff's Office for fingerprinting and DNA collection. Whereas the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, adopted a resolution 2025-055, approving agreement with Franklin County Sheriff's Office for fingerprints and DNA collection. Whereas resolution 2025-055 incorrectly stated the terms of the agreement was from January 1st, 2025 through January 31st, 2025, and I put the contract or the old resolution attached. Whereas the agreement approved by the board and signed by the parties provided terms beginning January 1st, 2025 and continuing through December 31st, 2028. My apologies. Whereas the Board of Trustees desired to correct the records and amend Resolution 2025-055 to accurately reflect the terms of the agreement as stated in the executed contract. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board hereby amends Resolution 2025-05 to the correct terms of the agreement with Franklin County Sheriff's Office for fingerprinting and DNA services. The agreement shall be recognized and approved as January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2028, as reflected in the executed contract. Except as specifically amended herein, all provisions of this resolution 2025-0055 shall remain in full force and effect. That all former actions of the board concerning related to the adoption of this resolution were passed in an open meeting of the board, that all deliberations of this board and any of its committees that result in such formal action were in meetings open to the public in compliance with legal requirements of section 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code, that this resolution shall be declared emergency and shall be in full force effective immediately upon its adoption.
I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Any questions? Can I get a roll call?
Trustee Fleshman.
Yes.
Trustee Blevins.
Yes.
Trustee Fuller.
Yes.
It's not here. So, limited information on this one. So we have an officer who has a shoulder injury. Okay. He will be having surgery at the end of this month, late July. We don't know the extent of the injury. I'm sure age has a little bit to do with it, but you know, we've already went through the meeting. Just to let the board know he will be out. That type of injury could have a 4-month recovery. But we can look at light duty options and things like that, like we have in the past. So that's limited. That's probably all we can really say.
Yeah.
The meeting. So just as a FYI, it's coming in. That's all I had.
I have a couple questions, Byron. So you brought in the young man, I forgot his name already.
Runyon.
And he was going to be our next officer in the numbers of things. And then we lost Warner. And then we're talking about, without naming names, we could be down. Are we actively pursuing applications?
Yes.
I think that was me, unfortunately. I'm sorry. So.
We are actively. We don't have any at the interview stage yet. But we've actually reached out to the FOP. They've actually shared it on their Facebook page for us, and put it out through their chains too.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll get more applications in, because.
And then I know the answer to this question already, but I'm going to ask it anyway. No one's reached out to you who would like to have the speed trailer put on their street when we're talking about speed for calming devices and things like that. If you have concerns where the calming devices are going right now, I've been coming here for 9 years speaking about Randsburg, and that's why I feel justified to sit and ask for calming devices on Randsburg. If you have concerns on your street, we have a speed trailer, and all they have to do is reach out to Nicole or yourself, and they could have a speed trailer put on their street, and you could come in here next month or two and read their stats and things like that, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, I just want it to be said so people don't come back and like to get on Facebook and stuff and
beat
me up because I'm getting things put on my road. It's not my road. It just needs to be taken care of. So I just wanted to make that statement.
No, I agree. Nicole's putting it on, or put it on a website so they can, you know, say, hey, I'd like to have this on my street. And, you know, as long as it's one of our roads.
Sure.
We'll put it on there.
No. You have anything, sir?
Do not.
Ma'am?
Nope.
Thanks, Byron.
Yes, sir.
Let me get this thing to look that way.
So, Nicole, we're up to zoning, ma'am, under old business. I believe there's some resolution.
Yep. All right. So, I'm over to when I print it. Well, resolutions. They're all for junk vehicles, so I'll read the resolution number, parcel number, and property address, and then I'll read the junk vehicle resolution.
Am I accepting each one individually, like when you say 12, or am I that's what I'm trying to get across?
I'm going to do it like last time. I'm going to read the resolution number, parcel, and property address, and then the standard junk vehicle resolution.
Okay.
If there's a address in there, I guess, that you know of that you wish to exclude.
Okay.
Mention it. Otherwise, if there's no objections to any of
that. One time, that's the answer. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. So resolution number 2026-114, which is two parcels owned by same people. Parcel numbers 140-003-872. And 140-001038, which is 906 and 928 Harrisburg Pike. 2026-115, parcel number 140-004350, 1654 Randsburg Avenue. 2026-116, 140-000591, 1618 Randsburg Avenue. 2026-117, 140-000593, 1610 Randsburg Avenue. 2026-118, 140-000607, 917 Brown Road. 2026-119, 140-003239, 1814 Little Avenue. 2026-120, 140-002304, 1795 Little Avenue. Resolution 2026-121, parcel ID 140-002328, which is 1792 Little Avenue. 2026-122, which is 140-002318, 1722 Little Avenue. 2026-123, which is 140-002340 at 1695 Hopkins Avenue. Resolution 2026-124, parcel 140-006460, which is 3353 Climb Road. And 2026-125, parcel ID 140-00270 at 3277 Climb Road. So, Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, met in person in a regular meeting at 12 p.m. on Thursday, July 9th, 2026, the trustee Mark Below made a motion for the adoption of the following resolution. It's reading resolution. So, do you guys make motion to read this resolution?
Two.
I'm sorry, which is resolution 2026, all of them that I just read, which declares motor vehicles located at the property address and parcels listed in Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, declaring them a junk motor vehicle and providing for its removal pursuant to ORC 505-871.
Okay. I do have one question, Nicole. I was following along, and on here it would be, I guess, the 12906 Harrisburg Pike. Did you read that?
I did. It would be, it's 2026-114.
Okay.
And then, can we read the parcel numbers again?
Or? No, okay. That was the only one, and I could have easily missed it. So I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
I have to read the resolution.
Oh, I thought that.
She wasn't done.
I was just reading the parcel ID.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It gets confusing when it's between me and her. So okay. The first part that I read was for you guys to make a motion. I guess I have to read it first. Yeah, that's, I'm sorry. All right. Whereas the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, the Board, pursuant to provisions of Ohio Revised Code Section 505.871, has the authority to address the removal of junk vehicles by electing to implement the provisions of the Ohio Revised Code Section 505-871. Whereas the board has found that there is a motor vehicle located at the addresses listed within Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio. They are 3 years or older, apparently inoperable and with extensive damage, and that otherwise constitute a junk motor vehicle pursuant to sections 505-871 and 505.173 of the Ohio Revised Code. Whereas it is in the best interest of Franklin Township and its residents to proceed under sections 505-871 of the Ohio Revised Code in order to remove or have removed the junk vehicles from the property. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, by the Board of Township Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the following resolution be and hereby is adopted. The board hereby determines that the motor vehicles listed are in the unincorporated area of the township, which may be generally described as 3 years or older, apparently inoperable with extensive damage, constitute a junk motor vehicle as defined in sections 505-73 of the Ohio Revised Code. Section 2, the township shall provide for the removal of said junk motor vehicle from the property on which the vehicle is located, not sooner than 14 days after the board serves written notice of its intention to remove removal of the vehicle on the owners of the land and any lien holders on record of the land. Section 3, upon proper notice and failure of the property owner to remove said junk motor vehicles within 14 days of service of notice, the township shall provide for removal of said junk motor vehicle and the expenses thereof shall be certified by the township designee to the Franklin County Auditor, who shall place the expenses on the tax duplicate as a lien upon the property to be collected as other taxes and returned to the township's general fund. Section 6, the board finds and determines that all formal actions of the board concerning and relating to the passage of this resolution were taken in an open meeting of the board, and that all deliberations of the board that resulted in formal actions were taken in meetings open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including but not limited to Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22, except as otherwise permitted thereby. Section 7, the resolution shall take effect immediately upon its passage.
I accept the resolution as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for doing these. I know you had to go back because we had to cancel that one meeting and double check things. Okay. But I wanted to say thank you. Going to move on to new business. Number one under new business is at the last meeting that we had, I had asked Byron to write me a letter. So I wrote a letter, and Nicole and Robin and Trina worked on it, and we got a hold of ODOT, and I wanted to let the board know that I have a meeting set with ODOT, and Byron and Jim will be in the meeting with us and Nicole at 1 p.m. on the 3rd
here to discuss that intersection at Randsburg and Harrisburg Pike, gotcha, where all the accidents have been and everything.
I'm glad that you got
so that. We finally got somebody coming anyway to have the meeting. The hopes and desires would be we can get through that meeting. We've been in contact with the owner of the property. As soon as we can get him some information, he's willing to make some changes. So maybe that will help things out.
Yeah.
Robin, could you take number two, ma'am?
Mm-hmm. I was on a Teams meeting with some folks with SWACO, and they were going over some. The reason I reached out to them because there were some grant opportunities within the recycling world, within SWACO, and any time that we could explore grants of any capacity, it's kind of good to get some education on what those look like and different things like that. and of course, within that educational piece came the subject of bringing back a recycling container to this location. You know, for years we've had one that was located over on the east side of what is now parking spaces. And I explained that and they understood, you know, why we had them, because we were having a building put in the back. We needed a space for equipment to come in and out. So they were asking for the board to consider placing a recycling container more back where our current dumpster, like trash dumpster, is located in the rear. That way it is kind of out of, because one of the reasons before too was the it was not very curb appealing before. The board has to consider a lot of factors in parking, the truck's accessibility to go in and out. It is well lit back there in the evenings, so if people do need to recycle after work or as it get into the winter months, they would be able to see to do so. But also it's a little more secluded when we have to deal with people maybe that are dropping things off that they should not. So it's just something for discussion, consideration. I've gotten a couple emails asking, you know, if we've had the meeting yet. I said, no, we have not. But I wanted to at least bring it to your attention for you to consider it. And then if we wanted to put it back on a future agenda. And I just wanted to bring that up. Because they offered to put in the concrete pad and everything necessary for the container to come back.
So I'll start off with the discussion. I read this and thought about it and stuff. And one of my biggest concerns is cars going around back with Jim and them pulling their equipment in and out of the garage doors back here and stuff like that. Potential for accidents and things like that. And it got out of hand up here.
Mm-hmm.
And people just do not abide by the rules, and dump things that shouldn't be dumped. I want to say, if we're going to consider to do it at all, I would like to see it go on, I'm going to call it a road, an alleyway, a dirt path that goes up behind the modular. I think that's, and I suggested that before, but there seemed to be some way that they didn't think that they could do that. It could be the wires overhead or whatever, but I just don't think that going around here and leaving this area open for cars to come through and stuff, and that would be where I'm at on it. So
I'm like-minded in the same way. And then at one time, wasn't we supposed to, we were going to try something like that over there, and I don't know why we didn't. Jim's not here, but we ended up not, for some reason, we ended up not doing it. We are kind of, like right now, if we walked outside to try to find a place to park, it's a little tough. Space is a commodity. When we had the other dumpster, we did get a lot of cardboard. It is advantageous for SWACO because, you know, that is recyclable things. I think one of the things that we had some people that were upset that we got away with it, we done away with it, and we informed them, you know, we asked who your trash carrier was, and they didn't even was aware that their trash service would pick up recyclable every Monday. So we do have a lot of recycling going on throughout the township, at least if they show up like my place. Sometimes I've been getting skipped lately. I just don't know where we would put it.
Is the closest one to us still Urban Crest? Because that's where I tell people when they bring it up, and I know that was the information
early on. I mean, we always encourage them that we still have one at Station 192. Bob, do you have any, there was two containers up there, my apologies. Do you have any problems with those two containers? Any illegal dumping, things outside the containers, things of that nature? So, I mean, they did recognize we still have recycling offered at one of our firehouses, in one of our properties. And, but they just asked for us to consider, returning the container inside. I said, well, I can bring it to the board's attention.
What's your thoughts, ma'am?
I think that we need to bring it back, but the thing is, I don't know where we would put it. Because I can tell you every time I would come to a meeting, just coming to meetings before I was sitting up here, there would be a bunch of people just dropping off cardboard and stuff putting in there.
So,
I mean, would the board consider this roadway to the west of the firehouse being an access to the, I mean, the recycling truck will have to come in the larger pathway.
Right.
But for residents, and again, following directions, I respect the, you know, the board's, you know, we do have this pathway. I know that it is marked one way, I think, going out currently. And I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, it is only a single lane. But just putting that out there as a thought. Again.
So how about we put it back on the next agenda and we involve Jim and maybe between Jim and Nicole or yourself or Trina, we could look for an alternate location. And if there is none, let's have Jim's input since it's going, if he feels it's not going to interfere with his men, you know, backing the big trucks around and different things like that, it could,
That was another concern. Even like when you go around back at the working area, I know Jim has his stuff there. I know sometimes the fire department parks in a certain area. It's very tight back there. It can be. And then you add in a parking back there for the men. I just don't see where it's almost like a size 9 shoe and you wear a 10. It's going to leave blisters no matter how we look at it. So it's just trying to figure out where is the best place to put something like that.
Sure. I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
So are you opposed to just taking a look at an alternate
location? No, not at all.
Okay, absolutely. So when you bring it back on the next agenda, and I can personally speak to Jim on it and see if he has an opinion.
Right, and then I'll just return whatever the answer is back to Swaco at that time.
Okay. I'm going to table number 3, correct?
I'm sorry?
Number 3, under new business, we're going to table it.
Yes.
Okay. Robin, you're good with that, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Robin, discussion about the 2027 tax budget?
We needed to talk with the board because I think briefly I've had conversations a little bit about the deadline on the tax budget. The county auditors ask for the tax budget to be completed by the 15th of July, which Chris will be here on Monday, the 13th. But the issue is there must be a public hearing to show our anticipated tax budget. And we have two budgets for the year. You have what's called a tax budget. And that is basically what we anticipate is going to come in as revenue, you know, from the taxpayers, the estimate. And then as we get towards fall, we'll have what's called the appropriation budget. And that's the money's going out, how much we're going to spend, how much we're going to spend in salaries and benefits and all that. So we've got this one is our incoming monies, which require us to have a public hearing. And the public hearing is to be, you know, where you're looking at your budget, the public can come in and look at it as well. Very transparent. But the step is that public notice has to be provided in a publication 10 days prior to the hearing. And so I think we're getting tight on time.
So that moves us, if we did it today, would be, and you can't get it done today. So we're looking 10 days from today would be the 19th. So we're looking somewhere in 2021, 22. So.
Yes, yeah, so I guess the question is.
So can we do that meeting? If, could we do that hearing that you're talking about on the 23rd, the next time we're back here?
Yeah.
Can we do that Can we set, does that have to be in the evening? Is there any parameters around when it is?
Basically having.
But the due date was July the 15th. Well, so I was going to ask the board, that's the next part of what I was getting ready to state, that we need a motion or something to get permission in which to reach out to the county auditors to request an extension. And I'm not sure how the extension works when we don't have a fiscal officer. So if I can get an extension, if the board gives me permission or of which one of you, however, and I can get that information back from the county auditor and they require signature, Chris would be here Monday as our active fiscal officer. And so if the board is interested in going down that path.
I think that that would be advantageous for us to go that way. One, we're put in a deficit by not having an active fiscal officer in place. So we are dealt the hand that we're dealt, and we have to kind of deal with what we can and be in compliance.
So I'll make a motion then.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that Robin reaches out to the auditor's office to see if we're able to get an extension. If she's able to secure an extension, we put an ad in a publication that we will be doing the tax budget meeting on July the 23rd. How long does that, do you need to be at that meeting for people to have the opportunity to come in, ma'am? It would be an hour.
I mean,
sufficient.
Right. I mean, it can be as long or, I mean, short. I mean, because if it's a part of your business meeting, you can put it right at the very beginning.
Okay.
You know, and say.
Then we wouldn't have to come early at all. Not that I mind coming.
Right. You don't have to have a special meeting for it. It can just be a part of your regular agenda.
Just like
this. Is everybody good with that?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Just like the discussion we're having now would solidify that we did our due diligence.
And then if the extension is accepted, then I would need permission in which to place the public hearing into the newspaper, to which we use the Daily Reporter.
Do I need to get a roll or on that first motion, or is this going to
all? It can all be inclusive because we haven't done any voting or anything
so
yet.
So then,
so ask for a second.
Well, I got to add that she has permission from the board to make arrangements to have it put in a publication.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Is that everything you need?
Yes, sir.
So now I ask for a second.
I gladly second.
Any other further discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fleshman.
Yes.
Trustee Blevins.
Yes.
Trustee Fuller.
Yes.
Can you do number five, ma'am?
I'm going to ask Nicole. We should step out and talk a little bit about.
Nicole? Robin wanted you to step out. Go ahead.
Do you mind talking about the meeting downtown, the call you had yesterday with Emmanuel?
Turk.
Turk, yes.
Oh, Turk.
Yeah.
It's basically where, probably won't explain it perfectly right, but where the council comes together and they review TIFs that have been granted in like your jurisdiction. So for us, there's a couple other things, but the one that applies to us is the TIF for La Plaza Tapatia. It's a real quick meeting. They review the TIF and I think like what the businesses that they're doing, what, the, how much has been contributed and, earned and applied back to the TIF amount. I'm not exactly sure the very specifics of exactly what they do, but it requires two people to be appointed in each jurisdiction to make up the entire council. And those two people that must be appointed have to be township residents. Last year, the entire council has to have two residents of the township. So that could be from the various other agencies that make up the whole council, which includes the school board, the auditor's office, such as that. Whoever's appointed has two of those people total have to be a resident of the township. Historically, Robin and I have went because they've had, another person that made up the township resident aspect. But this year, they're not sure who the other appointees might be. So in order to meet that requirement, Robin's agreed that she would go, but one more resident needs to be appointed.
So what we've done in the past, just so you know, They literally schedule you 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's like boom, boom. You sit down, you say yes or no, and then they're moving on to the next.
So I've taken them down, both of them, for 2 years in a row, and I drop you off right at the, what's the name of the building?
Anybody? It's the front of the courthouse. It's like,
It's the courthouse.
And then I go park. By the time I get money in the meter, they're calling me and saying, I'm ready to be picked up. So the ask is, since you live in the township, Robin's willing to do it. Could you make yourself available that day?
Are you going to drop me off?
And I'm going to drop you.
That'll be our chauffeur.
I might even buy lunch.
Well, since you're talking about lunch,
when it came up, I said maybe Brenda, if she was free, could do it then.
Nicole,
Brenda?
August 24th. Emmanuel Torres, he currently is the acting director right now because the previous director has moved on. He did send an email yesterday. He copied all three of you on it. I think I've resent it. Yeah, in case he wasn't sure what it was, that's what it is. So the date is August 24th.
Yeah, I sent that. Did I send it to you guys?
I got it.
Because I didn't see you guys copied at the top, and I'm like, okay, this is something.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't for sure exactly what it was, but
I don't
think
we need to do anything on this other than, Brenda, we need to do a motion or anything at all like that, or?
I don't think so.
I'll do a motion that as long as Mike drops me off and picks me up.
And lunch. Lunch.
And lunch.
I'll second
it. Discussion.
Discussion. What's for lunch?
Right, where are you wanting to go?
So, okay, moving on. Fiscal department, seeing none. We're going to go on to admin clerical, Robin Watkins. I think almost every bit of this falls on you, ma'am. If you don't mind, do you want me to call them off by the alphabet? Okay, go right ahead.
I can just get started. We're going to do the motion to approve accounts payable. This is going to be from June 10th, 2026 through July the 7th, 2026. This is... Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board makes a motion to approve accounts payable for June 10th, 2026 through July 7th, 2026 in the amount of $298,743.97 from electronic payment ACH vouchers 1489, 2026 through 1746, 2026. And there's the exhibit.
I accept the motion as read. Can I get a second?
I have a second.
Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Levins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
So we have two payrolls due to the cancellation of the last meeting. So actually, there's a total of three, but two staff and then the one elected officials. So I'll read them one at a time. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board makes a motion to approve the employee payroll for the period of May 31st, 2026 through June the 13th, 2026 in the amount of $149,058.51. Direct deposit occurred on June the 19th, 2026. Electronic vouchers 1533, 2026 through 1598, 2026.
Accept the motion as read. Can I get a second?
I will second that.
Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Blevins?
Yes.
Trustee Fulton?
Yes.
So be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board makes a motion to approve employee payroll for the period of June the 14th, 2026 through June the 27th, 2026, the amount of $150,561.38. Direct deposit occurred on July the 2nd. Electronic vouchers 1650-2026, 1713-2026, and there's an exhibit attached.
I accept the motion as read. Kim, I get a second.
I'll second.
Our discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Trustee Fleshman?
Yes.
Trustee Levins?
Yes.
Trustee Fuller?
Yes.
Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board makes a motion to approve the elected officials' compensation for the period of June 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2026, the amount of $9,625.34. Direct deposit occurred on July the 1st. Electronic vouchers 1642-2026 to 1645-2026, and there's an exhibit.
I accept the motion as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Discussion. Hearing none. Roll call.
Trustee Fleshman.
Yes.
Trustee Levins.
Yes.
Trustee Fuller.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm done with account payable and payroll. So I'm on to motion to approve the invoice for the Manick Smith Group. I always bring these to the board because this involves the grant that we have out at the former Westland Mall property. So because it is a grant, we like to be transparent on showing how the grant funds are being utilized. So this is a motion to authorize the payment to the Manick Smith Group. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board makes a motion to authorize a payment to the Manick Smith Group for the agreement outlined in Resolution 2026-039. Payment will be made per the description of services outlined in Invoice 144270 in the amount of $81,698.27, paid with the approval of the purchase order of 83-2026. There is an exhibit.
I accept the motion as read. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Trustee Fleshman.
Yes.
Trustee Blevins.
Yes.
Trustee Fuller.
Yes.
Okay, so I think I'm done with that. I guess Jim's not here to go over the admin or clerical overtime. I'm to be transparent, we are slightly over by $175. That was due to the work that had to be done towards the beginning of the calendar year, dealing with the W-2s and all the tax forms and things that needed to go out. And the fact that now we have that third person, which now our basically our overtime is completely non-existent because of being able to utilize our staff in an effective way.
You can go ahead. I think we're both getting ready to say the same thing.
I think so.
Go ahead.
Because I think that a lot of that overtime is because we did, our fiscal officer had had a breach in our system, which you had to correct. And you spent a lot of time, hard work to get that fixed.
Right. It takes a lot of time when you have to, changing the financial institution's account information. And then we had the email breach. So it was like compounded extra work that had to be at the exact same time as W-2s and 1099s have to go out and all these other important required documents that have timelines.
But you would have been fine without overtime had you not had the breach.
I believe so, ma'am. Yes. Yes.
The House Bill 96 is what we're talking about.
Yes, it took a lot of time because we have to be in compliance.
You guys are, I know for a fact that you're working diligently to have zero, if any, overtime whatsoever. So,
We're working very well together on the fact that if somebody does have a couple hours over, then we balance where, okay, somebody comes in late or somebody leaves a little bit early.
Sure.
Now that we've got that extra person to rotate the tasks. And we always keep the door in the doors open and the phones are, we have someone covering phones. And so that way we're able to, if somebody does get a couple hours and we need to adjust, we're still covered.
So what I would like to comment personally, I'd like to thank the staff for willing to stay because they don't have to. I mean, if you really look at this, if you look at overtime and then you're working overtime. Wait a minute. Let's just thank the people that were willing to stay to get the work done, especially under the circumstances that we are with the fiscal department, meaning the lack of. That just shows caring for the township and their positions because, let's face it, you guys have families and other things that you do other than this. And so thank you for staying and doing the extra time that was needed to get those things done.
I agree. I also want to say, just off of that, I get very few complaints about the door not being open now, and I can't tell you the last time, and I don't know if it has to do with what you had changed on the door or the telephone calls going in the right directions or what, but I have not received any calls people complaining about the phones.
Yeah.
So I think we need to say thank you and keep up the good work to all three of you, and I hope everybody can hear me, but if they don't, can you please pass the sentiment on to the other staff? I would appreciate it. Sorry. Anything else, Brenda?
No, I just want to say thank you so much. And I also wanted to ask, whose responsibility is it for House Bill 96? Whose responsibility is it to make sure that that is abided by?
I mean, I think it's, I mean, ultimately at the end of the day, the Board of Trustees is responsible for ensuring compliance.
Correct.
So I'm not sure.
I was just wondering if, you know, all the things that you had to take care of.
Oh, leading up to. I'm so sorry.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those were, you know, fiscal related.
Okay.
But we still have to be in compliance with or without the person that would be a part of that, doing that task. So yes, it's a lot of it was fiscal driven.
Okay.
I don't think the auditors care when they come in here who's sitting in what seat. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? They don't want to hear that we don't have a fiscal officer in that seat that day. They just want us to be in compliance. And when they're not, we're the three that get called on the carpet. You agree?
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You've been here the longest. You
absolutely.
On the carpet more than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's all. I mean, I'm not trying to beat a horse here, but it's just thanks for bringing that up, Brenda. I appreciate it. So you want to speak on F, ma'am? He's on the discussion.
Yeah, I've been working on this findings for recovery piece for the 17 through 19 audit. And it's been like months of trying to get through the different steps and the different processes. And so I think where we're at now is that I think the board received some guidance from legal counsel and is looking for a motion for the legal team to pursue Travelers, which would be the bonding company that would be responsible for claim on the findings for recovery. And so that's kind of where we're at this point, is to get the legal counsel to move that letter along.
I'm ready. I'll do it.
Yep, absolutely.
I'll make a motion that we have Robin work with our legal team, and that they reach out and write a, for lack of a better word, a stern letter to Travelers, and give some parameters in there when the Board of Trustees expect an answer back. We've been more than patient, and our employees deserve to know what's going on and everything. And most importantly, the taxpayers need to know, because their money has all been, you know, involved in this all the way around, whether it be paying the employees, and if employees were overpaid, underpaid, whatever it was, they paid for the audits and everything else. And so this is a step, and we're not fooling around. So is that spelled out good enough?
So it relates to the audit for 2017 through 2019.
That's correct.
Okay.
So with that being said, can I get a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fleshman.
Yes.
Trustee Blevins.
Yes.
Trustee Fuller.
Yes.
Okay, we're running down to the end of the thing here. So does anybody in the audience have anything they'd like to discuss that was discussed in the meeting here today? Seeing none, we'll go to trustees' updates. Brenda, did you have anything, ma'am?
Nope, I don't have nothing.
John?
This is a long day of meetings. I leave this meeting. I'm going to be going to city council meeting, represent township as well as me being a resident. Everyone's probably heard of the bus station on Wilson Road and et cetera. So now right next door to it, they want to put a cannabis, if I say that right.
Cannabis.
Hot store. How do you say it?
Cannabis.
Cannabis. Thank you. Right next door. And they are seeking the right code to be able to do that. And they're going to be voting on it tonight. I think our residents in that area is been plugged enough with the bus station. And then you're adding another element to it. The two just don't mix. You're not supposed to drink and drive and chew gum and walk. So, you know, I'm just kind of surprised, to say the least. And if it wasn't the due diligence of a resident that happened to catch that was coming up, we would have never known. Again, Franklin Township was left out of the loop of being notified, and we are within 100 feet of where this is going to be. So That's all I have.
I do want to make a quick statement. So, it's no secret that in a year and a half from now, I'll be out of office and I have no desires or will be running for reelection. So what I want to say is there's a seat here to be had. So if anybody out there wants to start, thinking about stepping in and becoming a trustee, I would say to you, come to some meetings and, learn, sit here and learn. It's how I did. I ran an unsuccessful campaign the first time and I stuck with it. And 2 years later, I came back and ran. I'm happy that I did so. It's not really for me. I do the best I can for all of you. I would say to a particular person out there, I'm going to call them Rosemont Avenue Bob. You seem to have all the answers when you're sitting at home with your keyboard and your telephone and everything. You can't help yourself but to comment on everything that we put out there. If the police department puts something out there, you have something to say negative about that. Fire station put something out there, a levy or something. You've got the answers to that. So here's my seat, sir. Why don't you come here and get out there and run yourself a campaign and go knock on the doors, put the hard work in, and then I'll sit at home and critique everything you do. So that being said, I will now move forward to closing the meeting. So I'll make a motion to approve the audio and video and minutes or meeting summary as the official record and minutes of today's meeting. Can I get a second?
I will gladly second that.
Discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call.
Trustee Fletchman.
Yes.
Trustee Blevins.
Yes.
Trustee Fuller.
Yes.
Friendly reminder, the next meeting will be held on Thursday, July the 23rd, 2026 at 12 p.m. We are adjourned at 1:52.